That's why Hulk Hogan was allowed to wrestle under a mask as Mr. America for a very brief time.
Welcome to the world of muscle, smoke, and mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, we're back with another episode of The World of Muscle. My name is Tomash, and I have Randy on the other end.
Morning, Tomas.
Morning, how are you?
Pretty good.
Ready to give us all there is to know about the Mr. America?
As much as you allow me to.
Okay. So today we're going to be talking about the AAU, Mr. America, its history, and what the future holds for it. So let's start. I mean, this all began because you were on Carl Lenore's Superhuman Radio last week talking about Mr. America with Pete Grimkowski.
And yeah, they're rebooting the Mr. America in August. So
exactly. So let's give the listener a little bit of a rundown about the AAU Mr. America. When did it originate?
Okay, I will repeat a little bit of what I said on Thursday on the radio. This is not an easy subject to do quickly. It's got some layers of complexity, but we'll try to get through it. The Mr. America debate goes back to 1939 when Johnny Hordines ran America's Finest Physique in June of 1939 in Amsterdam, New York. It was called America's Finest Physique, but John Kehaugh, who's a collector, he has posters of that contest where he said in several places it did say Mr. America. Just over 3 weeks later, the AAU, the Amateur Athletic Union, ran its annual National Weightlifting Championships, and along with those championships, they ran another physique contest where the competitors had to be AAU members and also compete in the lifting. So that kind of started the format of the AAU Mr. America. That's went from that point on.
Hang on 1 second. What is that format? Since you're
that
you're
format teaching. Of the Mr. America being run by the on the heels of an AAU Senior Nationals Weightlifting Championship.
Okay, so then I'm gonna guess that it ran after one of those, or during, or at the same time as the weightlifting championships?
Very late at night. This was a thorn in bodybuilding side for a long time, because the AAU would come to very much the weightlifting committee, the AAU weightlifting committee, liked the fact that this new bodybuilding venue could pull people into the audience, but they'd make them sit there all night till the weightlifting was over to watch the physique contest.
Okay.
That's the format that continued for the next almost 40 years. And we would.
So there was a little bit of bait and switch. They bring them in, bring the audience in to watch the show, watch the bodybuilders, and then they make them sit through the weightlifting that they may not have wanted to see.
Leo Stern, a big pioneer in 20th century bodybuilding, told me, he goes, you had to have a cast iron ass just to sit through the weightlifting to get to the bodybuilding shows. But the AAU Mr. America became very, very popular, and they gave it the name Mr. America, probably on the heels of 1922, the Miss America. You know, the Miss America,
she's yes.
The prettiest girl, the best body, and the Mr. America physique contest, basically the same thing. And
so it was a pageant for men.
That was the argument, sport and pageant. That would be the argument for years, sport and pageant. But it brought us some of the big names in bodybuilding, like Clancy Ross in 1945 was a pretty big name in bodybuilding.
Who were the first one? Who won the first one? I mean, the debatable one in June, one July.
Well, Burt Goodridge won it in June of 1939, and Roland Esmacher won it in July of 1939 with the first AAU. Then John Gremick won it in 1940 and 41, and he was almost in a league of his own, and that's when they stopped multiple winners. If he won it once, he couldn't compete again. Mm-hmm. And for the next few years, it was preferably weightlifters that were winning the show. Dan Lurie won Most Muscular. Dan Lurie is one of our major pioneers of bodybuilding in the 20th century. He won the Most Muscular Award for the 1942, 43, and 44. And arguably, could have been Mr. America one of those times. But from the mid-40s on, it was primarily the bodybuilders that were winning. Like Clancy Ross was a bodybuilder. Steve Reeves, 1947, was obviously one of the best-known names of bodybuilding. George Eiferman, 53, a big name, Bill Pearl. He's probably our oldest living Mr. America, Bill Pearl, in 1953. Red Laurel was in 1960. Bob Gaida, a big name in bodybuilding, he was 1966. Dennis Tenorino, another big name, Boyer Coe, who won in 1969. Chris Dickerson, the first black Mr. America, he won in 1970. And Chris would be the only Mr. America winner to win the Mr. Olympia, which would be another title that became favorite in later years. Now, Lee Haney would have in 1982, but a big division occurred at that time.
So you mentioned earlier, not in this episode, but to me, that in 65, the IFBB started the Mr. Olympia. So that kind of, did that separate competitors? Could they compete in one and the other?
No. Even with Joe and Ben Weider's International Federation of Bodybuilders, we had to go back further than 1965. There were other Mr. America contests. We got to remember something. The Amateur Athletic Union, the AAU, was the only game in town in amateur sports in America during the most part of the 20th century. They were the top governing body for amateur sports in America, and even to an extent in Canada. So, for example, for many sports, the road to the Olympics ran through the massive AAU nationwide network of governing offices, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you competed outside the AAU or in an event that wasn't sanctioned by the AAU, you lost your amateur status. Now, for weightlifters, that was a big deal. For bodybuilders, not such a big deal.
Because there were other places.
Well, yeah, there was no Olympics or World Championships at that time. You had to stay in this amateur structure to make it to those bigger worldwide venues, right? So Walt Baptiste started a professional Mr. America in 1946. It ran to 1954 without a show in 52 and 53. But primarily the AAU Mr. America winners were winning that one. Dan Lurie, when he came in 1965 with his World Bodybuilding Guild, he ran a pro Mr. America in 1967 and into the 1970s. And the Weiders, when they started their IFBB, I would say it came to more prominent in 1948, they too, now theirs was an international federation of bodybuilders. Yes. Now, but they really were very small, and they didn't have really too many other countries affiliating with their international body. Nobody really gave it any sanction. But they then ran for example, the AAU would have nothing to do with them, okay? So Joe and Ben ran their Mr. America in 1949. It's actually ran in late 48, but it said 49. But that lay dormant for another 10 years until 1959 when Chuck Sipes,
So they were just few and far between. They weren't on a regular basis like the AAU held them every single year.
The AAU ran straight through from 1939, 1990. 1999. But like I said, there was a big division in 1982.
So there was, I think you mentioned to me that there was a big clash with the IFBB and the AAU regarding the Mr. America.
Yeah,
when was that?
This happened in the 1970s. The IFBB Mr. America from 1962 with Larry Scott. That was a big name in bodybuilding. He became the first Mr. Olympia. The Mr. America for the IFBB started to gain a little bit more prestige because some of the biggest names in bodybuilding, such as Larry Scott, Dave Draper, Don Holworth, Frank Zane, these guys are all IFBB Mr. Americans. Lou Ferrigno. But in the 1970s, there was going to be an opportunity for the Weiders International Federation of Bodybuilders to gain an affiliation with the AAU because there was the Sports Act of 1978 that began in 1975, which is going to basically reduce the power of the AAU and enhance the power of the United States Olympic Committee. Remember I said the AAU was a national governing body for amateur sports.
Yes.
But the United States Olympic Committee, the USOC, was going to be infused with a lot more power. And so the AAU weightlifting committee that was controlling bodybuilding and now powerlifting in the 1970s, they were forced to create three separate national governing bodies, one for weightlifting, one for bodybuilding, one for powerlifting. And now the AAU physique committee, the new physique committee, could vote to see if they would want to affiliate and connect with the WIDERS International Federation of Bodybuilders, because the IFBB had now gained some status because of Oscar State, and they became recognized as a legitimate international governing body for bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. So through a whole bunch of politics and shenanigans and incorporations, the AAU Physique Committee became the National Physique Committee, the NPC.
And this, you actually cover this in Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors.
It took me two chapters.
I know.
Saying now, right?
It's kind of great that you're clarifying it, too, because I had to read it a couple of times. It is very convoluted of what was going on in those years.
So what happened was they did affiliate. The AAU became the IFBB's American Amateur Governing Body for Bodybuilding, okay? So the IFBB had the AAU now. And it was becoming known as the National Physique Committee. But in the Hoffman gang that controlled weightlifting for years hated the WIDERS. Mm-hmm. And they still did not like this new affiliation. And they found out that the AAU still owned the Mr. America trademark. So they created a new committee of 12 that they were going to try to keep the AAU Mr. America going. So in 1982, they sued the NPC and stopped the NPC from running the Mr. America. So Wayne D'Amelio had to makeshift and run it as the American Amateur Bodybuilding Championships. And that was won by Lee Haney. So Lee Haney would have won the Mr. America. And everybody knows that Lee Haney went on to win 8 Mr. Olympias. But
in 1982.
Yeah, and by 1983, they changed the American Amateur Bodybuilding Championships to the NPC Nationals. That's what it is today. Everybody knows it as the NPC.
Yeah, everyone, yes.
And from that point on, but the NPC managed to take all that national infrastructure of amateur bodybuilding with them, more so than the AAU could take it back. So the NPC continued forward with more power, and the AAU kind of fizzled after that point. They still had some good athletes, like who was it? Rufus Howard, who won it in 82, then Jeff King in 83.
Joe Miko in 84.
Yeah, but after that, it starts to lose. I myself lost interest. I followed IFBB bodybuilding.
Well, their voice was louder in the magazines at that time, right? That was the only media.
People were still covering the AAU, Mr. America. I'm sure.
Iron Man did too.
Yeah, Iron Man did. But yeah, the WIDERS, when the smoke was clearing here, the WIDERS in the 1980s were in control of all the bodybuilding. Because Wayne D'Amelio, at that time, he did not care about dropping the Mr. titles, because he was already trying to format bodybuilding into a legitimate sport. And he'd start the Grand Prix. You heard about the Grand Prix in golf. So he was doing the Grand Prix of bodybuilding. And he said, of course, Joe Weider took credit for this, but it was Wayne who said, let them have the Mr. title. We'll go with the NPC Nationals. We'll line it up. Ben wants an Olympic recognition anyways. We have to try to structure bodybuilding to be recognized in that format, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a good move at that time. And the WIDERS reformatted their magazine into Muscle and Fitness. And the bodybuilding was really taken off. And the WIDERS rode that wave and took control of the sport.
Yeah. And then so it still continued, but it became smaller and smaller in 19.
It fizzled
over. I guess it started in 82. So the last, I guess, not official, but prestigious AAU Mr. America was Tim Belknap in 1981.
Yes.
And then it went on to 1999, you said.
Yes. And then I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon of the WWF, now the WWE, took ownership of that title. As you know, McMahon was a bodybuilder as well and ran his WWF in the early 90s that we won't talk about now. And that's why Hulk Hogan was allowed to wrestle under a mask as Mr. America for a very brief time. But later on, the trademark, he wasn't using it. And Bob Bonham in New York, he had picked it up. And he had run two Mr. Americas in, I think, 2011 and 2012. And then Bruce Ebel, who owns a number of Gold's Gym, purchased the trademark. And he's part of a group with Pete Gramkowski. I think Pete gave it to the trademark to Pete Gramkowski. And they are going to run.
So Bruce just gave it to him on his birthday, I believe, is what he said in the Carl Lenore show.
Yeah, and they're going to run reboot the Mr. America August 8th of this summer.
In Rochester, New York.
Rochester, Rochester, New York. They're running along with the Mr. and Miss Rochester. Apparently, the Mr. Rochester contest goes back 60 years or so. There's a Boyer Co. is telling me one of the oldest shows, bodybuilding shows in America, is the Mr. New Orleans, which goes way back into the 30s.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly what year, but it's an old contest. But the Mr. Rochester is a very, very old contest as well.
I mean, lots of people come from Rochester.
Yes.
Pete himself, Danny Padilla.
Jim Rockell. Formerly from the NPC. And they're going to be there. They've invited Bill Pearl. I think Bill Pearl is supposed to come. Red Laurel. Danny Padilla is going to be there.
You were invited, I heard. And yeah, you have some resistance going.
Yeah, we might go. You and I might go down.
So I might have to drag you down. I'll just stuff you in the car and drive you down.
Yeah, it's only a 3-hour drive for us, but you know, they got a big road ahead of them. Okay, they're you know, interesting, when Wayne D'Amelio was sued, see, the AAU didn't like the fact that as soon as the Weeders took control of the NPC, they were starting to do the same thing Hoffman was, you know, and they weren't allowing anybody to compete anywhere else. And when during the lawsuit, Wayne told me that they had to allow athletes to compete if they're in the NPC, had to allow them to compete in the AAU or other places. So the NPC today can't stop any athletes from competing by law, can't stop any athlete from going to compete in another amateur venue. Right?
Yeah, that is one of the little questions, is what would happen to the NPC athletes? Like, would they want to compete?
I was talking to the co-promoter with Pete in Cristiano in Rochester. He said they're not going to get the interest of the big NPC guys because they're the Mr. America, they're drug testing. And anybody, serious athlete in the NPC that's gearing up to win the top honors to go on to compete in the IFBB is cranked and on steroids, right? And they're not going to come compete because they will get caught. So they're getting athletes. It is a fairly short notice, but they're going with the notion that we have to start somewhere. Let's start. Let's get it running. Let's evaluate, assess. They want to move it to the West Coast next year. But they're bringing Bruce Abel, who has got a lot of film, I understand, and he's interviewed Steve Rees and Joe Gold before their deaths and collected a lot of film. He's coming to shoot some film of the show. And they're also talking with some networks about some reality shows.
So, this is what Pete was mentioning too, that Bruce has a lot of footage. Even Pudgy Stockton gave him a ton of footage from the old Venice Beach. So he's producing a movie or a documentary.
He's working on something. He's got enough footage to probably produce one or two or whatever he wants. He's got a lot of footage and he's going to continue with it. And there's other technology today is offering other options for them as well. There's many ways they can do things, and they know it's going to take some time. And bodybuilding is really ripe for alternatives.
And also, you mentioned the reality show possibility. So people who are competing have the opportunity to become stars.
Exactly. Instead of having to say, you know, okay, what do I want to go? Do I want to go on this show and compete? If I win, I can get some television coverage. Or do I want to win this show and go have to get cranked in the tits on drugs to compete in the IFBB, right? In which case, the shows are fixed anyway. So,
yes, that's what it's looking like more and more these days.
So we'll see what happens. And again, we're looking at, I'd like to go. You know, with me, it's not the most comfortable in traveling as a blind guy, but I'd still like to go down, and I'd like to meet Bill Pearl if he's coming. And
that's the thing. There's all these names are going to be there, and it's...
Yeah, Bill's 84. I might not ever get another chance to do that. So I'd like to meet Pete, too. I've talked for hours with Pete, and I'd like to meet Danny Padilla and Jim Rockell. I've talked to them guys as well.
Yes, I'll have to keep working on you and listener. If you think Randy should go, please let us know. I think you should. And the website for them, you can actually buy your tickets as a spectator. You can enter the contest if you're a competitor, is MrAmerica.life. So you can go there and check that out and either sign up as a competitor or as an audience member.
I'm trying to get my friend Josh Trantini, who won the NGA Natural Mr. USA, to compete. He's not far out of shape, and I've been bugging him to go and just said, look, at least he can be part of a Mr. American contest, regardless of how...
Part of history.
And get filmed. They're going to be filming, right?
Yes.
Josh looks like Steve Reeves anyway, so like, I mean, get up to any form.
Well, there you go. We'll just have to coerce him to go. Plus, you're going to be there, so he's got another reason to go.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, we should have, other than we're working on a couple of covers that maybe we can post up.
Yeah, get the covers up. There are actually
covers for book two, one of
three. Two or three already ready to go, so I might post them on Facebook and see get some feedback from people. Thanks, Randy. Thanks for that history of Mr. America from 1939 to 1999 and then a reboot in 2015.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye. Oh, before we go, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our website, theworldofmuscle.com. And also, if you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and be sure to give it a 5-star review on iTunes.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.